Welcome to More Speaks.
Hello and welcome to More Speaks, the long-awaited return. So this is Morph, along with my co-host, Ray. All right, so it's been a few weeks, been on vacation, gave Ray a break, a long-awaited break, and I'm back, and so is Ray. So as you know, been on vacation, went to Barbados, traveled a little bit, went to Miami. So how do you feel, Ray, to be back?
Man, thank you for having me. I want to go ahead and thank all our audience for tuning in and for being patient with us, for taking a little break. But feels real good to be back. It feels like it's been a while, but it's only been about a week. So really excited to hear about your travels and your journey out there and see how everything went.
Yeah, so, I mean, traveling, it's like a love-hate relationship. Just to be honest, because, I mean, once you're there, everything's great, but all the pre-planning and, you know, getting to the airport, making sure your bags are packed, making sure you didn't forget anything, and making sure your luggages are not overweight so you don't have to pay additional, you know, fees, you know, here or, you know, because some airlines, you know, they charge fees and then some don't. So, I mean, it's great. So, yeah, our first stop was Miami, and which we flew Southwest, which if you know Southwest, you know, all our bags. I think we took 3 bags total. Didn't have to pay any additional. But when we went to Barbados, had to pay, I forgot, I think it was like an additional $60, $70 just for the additional bag, just because you're flying American Airlines. So that kind of sucked.
How was the flight there? Did, you know,
The flight into Barbados was actually pretty good. It wasn't that bad. There was no rain or anything like that. We just missed the rain. I think 2 days before we got there, they had some rainstorms or something like that, but the flight was great. American Airlines is, it's a rough plane. I haven't been on American Airlines in a little bit, so I'm flying a lot of Southwest and Delta and United.
How long was the trip over there and everything?
So from Miami to Barbados, I think it was 3.5 hours. From what the itinerary says, it's like 4 hours or something, but you know, you lose an hour from Miami to there or something like that. I want to say it was about 3.5 hours. The one thing that was good was if you check in early, you know, you get on the flight where you can, on our American Airlines, you get to choose your seats or whatever, but coming back was totally different. But the biggest issue we had is once we landed, because of COVID right now, you have to take a COVID test and pass that before you get there, 24 hours before flying to Barbados and Miami and all that. Then you have to do like all these check-in apps. So American Airlines had a check-in app, and so did Barbados. They had like a BIM app, which is, I think, stands for like Barbados Immigration or something like that. So that wasn't too bad. We did all that, did the test, get to Barbados. We land, you get off on the damn airstrip, because it's not like here where you just, they have the little thing that comes to the plane and unloads you. So you actually get off the plane on a ladder on the front and the back of the plane. And then you walk in, and first thing they say is, you know, you go back into an immigration line and they start checking you. And 20 minutes later, they tell you, hey, you got to take another COVID test because the kind you took is not what we're looking for, which is kind of strange because 80% of the flight had to do the COVID test all over. And as soon as we landed, they did tell us we had to wear masks. So I knew at that point, them telling us that we had to wear masks, that it was going to be, we were going to have to be masked up throughout the whole city, well, the whole country. So that kind of sucked.
Yeah, to go from here in Texas, where the face mask was removed quite a bit ago, to go to Barbados and have to wear your face mask, I bet was like a reality check, I guess, where it's like, wow, you know, this country's still taking it very serious compared to us, you know?
Yeah, I would compare it to, I told a few folks before when they asked me about the trip. It's like going back in time to 2020 COVID, to where everybody had to wear a mask. I mean, they were pretty serious about it. Like sometimes you would forget and leave your room without a mask and walk around, you know, like the resort or whatever. And then we walked into a store and they're like, where's your mask? Where's your mask? And I was like, damn. Luckily the front office had a mask, because we didn't pack them with us at that time. So we had to like get a mask just to go into the store. Every restaurant, which to me makes no sense, put on a mask to enter the restaurant, and then when you sit down, you take it off again. That was kind of weird. But like I said, it's like going back into the past and 2020 COVID, when it was like running rampant. But I mean, I understand it's a small little, you know, country, and any virus, you know, can just run rampant through there because it's kind of small. But don't get me wrong, I mean, the island is freaking beautiful.
So tell us about your actual adventure there. So did you guys get to do everything you guys had planned out before, or when you got to the country, did you guys adjust due to their stipulations and everything?
Pretty much everything we planned, we did, because the biggest thing we wanted to do was go to all the beaches. So the first thing prior to getting there, we rented a car. The whole time I'm thinking, you know, it was going to be a stick shift. And I was like, man, I don't want to go back to driving stick shift. Lo and behold, I didn't know they drive on the left hand side. And inside the vehicle, you the steering wheel is on the right hand side. So it's like totally opposite of here, you know. So that was a big learning curve. So it took me a bit. Leaving the airport was the biggest challenge, which is not a big airport. You know, it's kind of weird. The airport is like small as heck, and you know, driving out, you're like right there on the street. Not like here, you know, Intercontinental or Hobby, where you got to go through 5 miles of like different, you know, parking spots and different lanes and different concourses and all that. And then you finally like out of the airport. Here's like you just turn right out, you make a right turn, and you're like out of the airport. And then our hotel was, the good thing, the hotel wasn't that far from there. It was just, you know, that first 15, 20 minutes of being nervous of driving on the opposite side, you know, of the street, and wanting my reflexes wanting to jump on the right-hand side over and over. That was the other thing. But I think after the second day, you know, some of the nerves, you know, kind of went away. And we did good. We went all over. Our biggest thing is when we go to like places like that, we like to visit all the beaches. So pretty much any corner of that island you went to, it was practically a real beautiful beach. I mean, it was the water was like clear blue. It's almost like going to, you know, Bahamas or Jamaica or something like that. The beaches were beautiful.
That's awesome, man. Tell us a little bit about the culture there. You know, I'm assuming this is your first time going to Barbados. So I know you've traveled quite a bit. I know you and your lady have traveled quite a bit. Tell us about the culture in Barbados. Tell us a bit about some of the differences you may have noticed, some of the things that we have in common. Just overall, what did you get from your experience out there?
The culture is totally different than here. That's for sure. I think the one thing about me, you know, I'm part Caribbean because I'm Dominican. So their culture is kind of Caribbean out there. So if you're kind of used to like Jamaica, Bahamas or anything like that, Dominican Republic, Puerto Rico, you know, you can get used to it. You know, everything is like bananas. Everybody sells on the streets. A lot of home cooked foods out there, a lot of markets. It's not like they have a ton of money, but pretty much everybody's on the same level. You do have your locations with a lot of money. So like where kind of like where Rihanna lives now, or she has a condo or something. I think, what was it called? White Sands or something like that, or Sandy something. It's something like that. White Sands. That's where she lives now. We passed by there and it looks like a huge resort. I mean, but if you blink, you kind of pass it up because a lot of the stuff. And one thing I did notice is like animals, there's animals everywhere on the street. There's freaking chickens everywhere. Everybody has a damn chicken. Didn't really see too many cows. So I was, you know, me and my fiance were kind of thinking where did they get like the beef, you know, because the two cows that we did see were like extremely like skinny. I mean, it was a ton of freaking goats out there. Rum runs plenty out there. Everything is rum out there, especially rum punch. That's like their number one drink there. Like they give it to you when you get to the hotel. Every restaurant has rum punch. I mean, it's all out there. But I mean, the culture is great. Now, I do got to say, some people might say I'm wrong. I kind of thought they were going to be more, I say, hospitable. It seems like sometimes you were talking to people in New York, pretty much, you know, that kind of like attitude somewhat, but that's the way I felt. It may have just been me, but I didn't feel like they were like as friendly as I thought they would be.
You definitely felt like an outsider is what you're saying.
I mean, you would feel like an outsider if you act like an outsider. I mean, if you just, you know, just roll with the punches. I mean, like I said, it was certain places felt that way, you know, but it just may have been, you know, I expected more, or, you know, I expected, you know, certain people to act a certain way. But, you know, it's when you come from New York, and then you move to Texas and everybody is kind of nice. I mean, now it's kind of changing, but you kind of get used to everybody saying hi to you and stuff like that. You know, there it's like you're there. You know, some people, I mean, certain shops, you know, certain locations, yeah, they were nice. But I don't know. It just seemed like I just thought it was going to be a little bit nicer. You know, when people, the way they treated you.
So let me ask you this. Was the resort that you at kind of zoned off like in its own district, or was it like amongst the people? You know, like how was your resort stay? How was that experience? Where were you at?
Pretty much everything's within the people. Like there's nothing zoned. There's some places zoned out, but you're still within the masses. You're still in there with everybody. Like there was another resort called Sandals, which is a common resort, and that's mixed in with everybody. The one we were at, it's a mix. So like they had like four or five buildings, and like two of them were Hilton kind of had for like their people to come. And then you had like two others that were condos. So the people own it, you know, they pay their rent, you know, their HOA and all that. And then they had another one that was coming, which was going to be another condo. Soon as you exit there, houses, you know, just regular houses all around there. And then, you know, the gas station, that was one thing. Like it was kind of hard to find gas stations there. I mean, they're everywhere, but it was kind of out there in the country. But like I said, everything is mixed. Like to me, I didn't really see what downtown was because everything looked the same. Now you did have like your little districts that had like straight bars, you know, up and down. Then you had the beach, and then you'd have like a whole bunch of houses. And then they had like the, what they call their mall. I think it was called the Sky Mall. To me, it was empty at that time because when we went over there, they had what they call May Day. So if you don't know May Day, for them is like Labor Day, so nobody works. But May Day, the first, which is the 1st of May, fell on Sunday, so they celebrated the next day. Nice. So Monday, everything was closed, and that was the day that we kind of went out because we came in on a Sunday, and they were telling us that hey, today is May Day. Tomorrow, a lot of things are not going to be open. So, you know, check, you know, with certain places. So it kind of sucked because, you know, we were going around trying to look for like certain things. Because wherever we go, one thing is what we do is we fill up our hotel refrigerator with stuff, you know, like snacks, chips, drinks. So like that, you know, we don't have to buy anything from the hotel or anything like that. Or we don't have to go out if we're having like our lazy day or something like that. Check the mall out. And the only thing that was open at the mall was like a drive-through that they had like on the outside.
Wow. So tell me about, like, I'm curious as to know, like, you already said it's kind of a Caribbean environment. So I know the climate was going to be pretty tropical, hot, I suppose. Tell us about something exciting or different that you guys did on this trip. What did you and your fiance really enjoy out of this experience?
Driving around and looking at all the people and, you know, the culture out there was a great experience. Because I mean, when we went to like Turks and Caicos and the Bahamas, you really didn't get to see everything because you're close to the port and stuff like that. But here we got to see the people, see how they live, the houses, you know, because the houses are different. The houses there is like in the Dominican Republic and low income homes, which is like straight concrete. You know, there's no one puts up a wood house out there. You know, it's all concrete, just like Dominican Republic. But I mean, the one thing we wanted to accomplish is we wanted to kind of like a festival, but we went to Harbor Lights. We did that, and that was pretty awesome because they went through all like the different music, you know, from the beginning of you know how the island started and all of that. And then I mean, it was great.
Did you guys particularly find any spots that you guys went to, any tourist attractions? Like, did you guys go jet skiing? Did you guys go see the tourists, you know, the sites? You know, tell us about some of your activities out there.
We never really do like the touristy type things, like jet skis. We never really do. I mean, one day I may jump on some jet skis, but we really just wanted to enjoy all the beaches. That's our biggest thing. So we went to every beach out there. I mean, Bridgetown, Hotel Town, Oyston's, St. Lawrence's Gap. One thing we did do, we went to the like an outdoor barbecue that they had, you know, right next to the resort. So it's like pretty much like a beach barbecue, and you go out there and it's like about 20 tables, you know, under the palm trees, and they barbecue and you go up and get your food, and they had somebody singing live music. So it was pretty cool. And they had a DJ. So it was really nice. And then you're like under the lights. So I will be posting a video on YouTube soon. So our listeners can look at that as well.
Awesome. So give me a rating on Barbados as far as, you know, not comparing it to any other countries or any other experiences, but just on its own, you know, is it better than what you thought? Is it exactly what you thought? Or, you know, did it fail to live up to your expectations?
I would say I'll give Barbados overall, Barbados as a country, an 8. It would be a 9 if the COVID protocols, you know, would have been a little bit, you know, lax. But like I said, I understand. Depending on where you went, most of the hole in the walls that we went to were really good. Sometimes on islands, when you go to islands, it seems like the food starts to taste all the same. So like when they fed us at different places, it kind of, you know, tasted the same some of the time, sometimes at the resort. So like we ordered a hamburger, and I mean, it wasn't even like a real hamburger. It was pretty much like already cooked beef or something.
So you didn't really find a mix of food per se in that area. You found very similar cooking styles and stuff like that. Like you couldn't really tell the difference from upscale and regular.
Well, no, more so like if you went to like the, so like we went to an Italian restaurant that tastes like your typical Italian. We went to a It was a Mexican. We went to like a Lone Star Bar and Grill. It was like a real nice. It had real good reviews too. We went to a restaurant on the side of the beach, you know, and everybody was like, "Oh, this is a great place to go." And we went there, and the food was like, "Eh." I think I got like the curry chicken, and it just tasted like just any curry chicken, really, to me. Besides that, we went to Surfer's Cafe. Was highly recommended. It was real nice because you're right on the water on that one. You're like, the little location is over the water. It's on high stilts, and that was okay. The food there was really good. We went to a restaurant, not even a restaurant, a gas station, and they had pretty good food. They had like the rice with chickpeas and all that, and that was pretty good. I gotta say, one thing about Barbados, and like when you go pump gas, is like the biggest thing. That I think that's another reason I gave it an 8, because when you go pump gas, you have to go put on your mask. You have to sometimes pay the attendant, or you got to pay the person inside before you pump your gas, and you can't even pump your own gas. They have to pump it for you. So that kind of sucked, because it made you take more time, you know, because you have to wait for somebody to pump your gas.
Yeah, I mean, I think they do that because they have to create jobs for their people, you know? So you may tip your attendant, you know, a couple bucks, and you know, that'll make his day, you know. But I could see how that could be a inconvenience as an American. You're used to pumping your own gas, used to doing everything in and out, and there's a whole process out there. So I could see how that was a different experience for you. How were the gas prices out there?
I mean, it was like, I think it was like $3 or $4 a gallon, but the money exchange out there is totally different. So for every American dollars is 2 Barbadian dollars, which I think they're called Bajan dollars, Bajan. So it's 2 to 1. So anytime you give them $50 is really like $100. I think I put like $20 one time, and then like $40, you know, just to turn in the car or whatever. But
so right now we were just talking about the food. No, well, the gas, and you were traveling to. Well, my next question for you, Morph, is tell us about the scenery out there. So I know lots of beaches, lots of water. Did they have like a lot of mountain ranges? Was it, you know, was it a lot of green? Was it flat? You know, what's the environment look like out there?
Oh, it definitely wasn't green. I mean, it was green, but it wasn't flat. It was is real hilly. So like there was hills everywhere. So if you want to catch, you know, see what it looks like, be sure to catch our YouTube that I'm going to post. You can see where we're going down hills. So it's like California times 3, almost like a roller coaster. At like certain points, like the car is like almost going downhill. Like you have to like pretty much step on the brakes, because like it's going down pretty fast, and it's a lot of whips and turns. Like I only saw 3 lights, stop lights out there. Everything was roundabout, so instead of having lights, they had a bunch of roundabouts out there. I think like 3 freeways. I mean, the driving, it was pretty cool, except when you go into like some of the more residential areas, because it was like a bunch of potholes. The GPS was not on point. We ended up going through a back road that was like straight dirt, and the little car we had, man, and then we had to like turn around and go a different way, because it was just taking us the definitely the wrong way. It sucked, you know, not knowing, you know, where you have to go. But the GPS, I would say out there when we use it, was probably 95% accurate. That 5% that when it took us the wrong way, that definitely sucked. And then another thing it did was when you're going to the roundabouts, it would tell you to go to the right instead of to the left, because it didn't understand that their driving is to the left. So it would say, you know, it would show like the car going around in a in the circle, you know, counterclockwise instead of clockwise. It was kind of, you know, I didn't pay attention to that because I just looked at where I had to turn on the roundabout, you know, which exit, so I can keep going the right way. And if I missed the turn, you know, I just kept going, and I would just make a U-turn. Now, one thing over there, going into like the little residential areas, that sucked because there was no way to make U-turns, and the street was so small that only one car could go by. And then I ended up going the wrong way thinking, oh, I'm going to turn around right here. Dude, it was like cliffs, and I had to make a U-turn, and it was horrible. I mean, really only a bike. The car we had was like the little, which that was their favorite car, the little Suzuki Swift, mm-hmm. which was like a small little four-door car. You know, it was pretty small, but yeah, it was some dangerous areas over there. So you had to like, it's always better just to turn around right when you make the wrong turn instead of going into the neighborhood, because we were supposed to go to a little spot that we found that had like some nice little, I don't know if it was, I can't remember if it was jewelry or something. Man, it was somebody's house. That's where the damn GPS took us, to somebody's house. We were like, oh, hell no. And we just kept going. We just like set the GPS to go somewhere else because we weren't going to stop there.
So you were telling me that you and your fiance spent a lot of time on the beaches. Tell me about the quality of the beach out there. How's the water? How's the sand? You know, were there a lot of people on the beaches? You know, tell me about your experience out there.
Yeah, so the sand, like it depends on where you went, but the sand was like really great. Right by our resort, the sand was like pillows. I don't know how to explain it. It was like stepping on clouds. It felt so nice. And the only thing is they certain parts of that beach had like a heavy amount of seaweeds for some reason, that just that side. Cause the next day we went to another one that was like, it was an open beach at one point. You get to it at different locations. So like some of the beachgoers that were part of that resort could go in through that way. Or there was like a little back alley where you would walk in, and then that was the beachfront, and you can go to the left, to the right. That right there, it wasn't too much sand there, except, you know, the little small gap. But then you walk to the left, and it was like the main beach. I mean, the quality of the beaches were like really, really nice. The water was pretty warm. Like I said, it was clean, see-through. That one restaurant we went to had a lot of beachgoers that would pass by, and then you had the big pontoon boats that would just pull up and dock, and then the people would get on a smaller boat and then come in and they would like visit those restaurants as well. So I mean it was nice. I mean there was some locations that were made for just like pictures. Like there was one I forgot, was
Oysten's Bay.
It was almost like 20-30 feet of like very shallow water that you could walk in and take like some really, really nice pictures. And then it finally led off to like the main beach. So, I mean, it was pretty nice. I'd say I wouldn't mind going back to Barbados once all the COVID restrictions were, you know, back to normal. It was just a pain in the butt having to carry a mask all the time when, you know, we're not really used to it anymore. But I mean, it was a great experience.
Awesome. So tell me about the vibe out there. Was it, you know, how was the nightlife? Was it a young city? You know, was it a place for older folks to kind of go and just enjoy the sights? You know, how was it out there? What's your vibe out there?
I would say it was a mixed vibe because there's a lot of tourists already there. So you would see anything from, you know, youngins to older folks, depending on where you were, especially like the resort we were at. They had like, I think it was 7 or 8 pools. And then they had like 2 pools dedicated to the mature pool where they had no kids, which was pretty cool. We didn't get in that one because that one was close to a restaurant that we wanted to visit. So we went to the restaurant, but we went to a few of the pools that was like kind of close to the cliffs. And I mean, that was pretty cool. The nightlife definitely is a great nightlife as long as somebody's driving you. So that night we went to the light show, man, it was, you know, driving at during the day is dangerous already. You know, if you're not used to driving there, but you know, at night is even worse because, you know, they just speed. I mean, they're so used to it. It's like nothing to them. So they're like speeding by and we're like in this big, it's almost like a party bus that we were on. And I mean, it was cool. But there definitely is a nightlife. I don't think it's, you know, it's not like a Miami type nightlife. Totally different, but the vibe was definitely great.
So you already said you would definitely consider going back to Barbados. How did your fiance feel about, you know, her time out in Barbados? Anything memorable that she said to you that maybe stuck out about Barbados?
You know, with her, as long as there's blue water and you can hear the beach from like the room. So like our room that we had, you could just open the doors and we were like right there next to the water. So you can hear the water all night. And that's one thing we kind of like, especially like when we travel, we always try to get like some type of beach, like a beach view or something. So like that, we can hear the water. So, I mean, she loved that because it was there all night, all day. So that was kind of great. Now, the one thing she disliked is the disrespectful sun at 5:30 in the morning. So the difference between here and there is at 5:30, like the sun is out, like early, early, early. Like it's like full beaming. So I'm assuming around 5 o'clock, it was kind of dark. You know, whereas here, I think it's like 7:30 or 8 is when it starts to do that. So that was one big difference. And like you would wake up and you're thinking it's like 8 o'clock already. And you look like every day I woke up thinking it was like 8 o'clock, 8:30. And it was actually only like 6 o'clock or 5:30. Even the day I had set an alarm because we were going to go do something early in the morning. And it was crazy. But Miami was great too. I forgot to tell you about Miami. So Miami, the nightlife there is definitely off the hook. We went to Miami. When we got there, we didn't really do much, but on our way back before we came to Houston, we had to stop there again. What was it? The F1 races out there. I don't know if you heard about it. The F1, Formula F1 race. Mm-hmm. So it was a ton of people out there. I mean, I don't know if that was part of it or spring break or what the hell was going on, but everybody was out in the street. And I mean, all kinds of like badass cars. The hotel we were at was right on Ocean Drive. So it was like, we were right there. Downstairs from us was like a club. So all night we're like 1 to 2 in the morning, and we went to a couple of places out there, ate pizza on the strip. They had like all kinds of shows. They also had a rooftop pool. The nightlife there was definitely totally different. And it was like tons of people on the street. Like everybody was on the street. It was like, I don't know what was going on. And there was a ton of police out there too. Something had happened maybe a few days before we got there. I think somebody had got shot in that area or something. And I think couple of days after that, they did something at the Formula One races or something. But other than that, I mean, it was real beautiful in Miami as well, especially during the day.
Rumor around town is you guys barely missed out on a playoff game between the Miami Heat. You want to tell me about that a little bit?
Yeah, so we bought some tickets to the Atlanta Hawks Miami Heat game. It was, I think we kind of got lucky because it was game 7. I mean, I assume that they kind of knew that they may not go that far because when my fiance bought the tickets, she was like, hey, we got tickets to the game. So make sure, you know, you wear something, you know, have something for the game or something like that. And then I was like, what time is the game? She was like, I don't know. So I went and looked at the tickets and it said to be determined. And I was like, man, that means, you know, they have to, you know, have to go to game seven in order to see it. But I think they only made it to like game five. They didn't even make it that far. So it kind of sucked because, I mean, we got our money back and they try to give us like a credit. And we're like, well, we don't live in Miami, so we don't need no damn credit. Just give us our damn money back. But that kind of sucked because, you know, we had bought shirts and all this other stuff, you know, to go to the game. But it would have been a nice experience. I mean, I think there was another game. I think it was the first game that Miami was playing against. I forgot who it was, but they weren't even playing here. It was where whatever city they were playing at. Who did Miami play next after that, after the Hawks? Yeah, and I think they played in Philly or something. So, yeah, we didn't get to see that either. But I figured, you know, those kind of tickets were hard to come by, and the pricing was kind of low. So, you know, I think that was why it was the price that it was, because it was going to be hard. So, I mean, hard for them to make it that far because, I mean, Miami was just, like, spanking them pretty good.
You ever been to Miami before, or this was, like, your first time?
This is actually the third or fourth time. And we normally go, you know, we always kind of stay around either Ocean Drive, or I think the time before we kind of wanted to go to a couple of places. So we went close to, I think it was like the Dash store. What is it, Dash? What is Kardashian store? What's the name of their store?
I don't watch the Kardashians. I don't know.
I think it was like Dash or something, because I know my daughters wanted to go to it. So we kind of were down the street from it. But I know we're close to Ocean Drive. But, yeah, we've been here a few times because we love going to Miami Beach, even though it's hot as heck all the time we go there.
So out of your trip to Barbados and Miami that you guys got to see everything, if it's my first time going to Barbados, you know, do you have any tips or any pointers for me as to something that I got to go see or something I got
to
do?
If you're going to Barbados, I mean, I just say be ready to mix with the locals and be ready to get in the water, because, I mean, it's a lot of water. I mean, going around town, I mean, we went to the distilleries, you know, to check it out. Like I said, rum is like their number one moneymaker out there. So we went to the distillery, and it was kind of weird because that distillery, you can basically just walk in and go wherever. Like, no one tells you, hey, you can't go here. Because we're all where they were, like, cutting the sugar cane and everything right by the manufacturers. And then they have, like, a bar there. And you can't even tell it's a damn bar. You know, there's no signs or anything. I would say rent a car. That's, you know, either rent a car or do like these folks that we met there. The resort had someone pick them up and bring them to back to the resort. And what they did is they kind of befriended the guy and asked him, you know, if he would be willing to, you know, take him around town. So we did that on our own. Like every day we would, you know, go explore different places, you know, and kind of just stopped, you know, at local, you know, restaurants, local, you know, shops and hung out with the people, you know, in fish markets and stuff like that. But what they did is they paid that guy to take him around, and he kind of showed him like Rihanna's house where she grew, you know, where she lived, all the different resorts, the new resorts and different places. And he would stop at certain high points or monuments that, you know, if they wanted to look at. We did that on our own because typically that's what we do. Either we'll rent a car and we'll do everything, or we'll find out from locals. So like on the plane, when we landed, this guy kind of gave us a lot of pointers because he actually lived in, this white guy lived in Barbados for 3 years and moved back to the States, and he comes back from time to time. So I would say do that. Go to all the beaches, kind of like just explore on your own pretty much.
So for our folks that do travel and have maybe been to places like you, the Bahamas, Dominican Republic, How does Barbados compare to those countries and those experiences out there?
It's been a while since I've been to the Dominican Republic, so they kind of rank the same from what I remember, especially like in the parts of town that I was hanging around at, which, you know, we're more in the poverty, well, I guess middle low class when we were at, which I kind of consider, you know, Barbados. You know, you don't really see a lot of the, you know, high class type places like Bahamas, you know, and stuff like that. You know, it's, I guess it has this mix. I would say, you know, even Mexico, when we went to Mexico, you got your places that, you know, you can just hang out freely, you know, with no issues, you know, you don't worry about no damn cartel or anything like that. And then you have your places where you're like, you know, people tell you, yeah, you may want to, you know, hang around with a crowd or, you know, not go by yourself. But I mean, it's both, all those places, you know, all the Caribbean places are good places to go. I feel it was pretty safe in Barbados, except for some of the hilly places where if you were to get stuck, you know, probably would have some issues out there.
So, of course, we can't talk about Barbados without addressing Rihanna and her presence and her impact that she's made out there. And also, I'm just curious, like, what's the main language that is kind of spoken on the island? Like, is everything in English? Is everything kind of like in their native island language? Like, what's the languages out there?
English is the main language. Everybody speaks English pretty much. But I think the other language was also called Bajan, just like the dollars. I don't think anybody said they spoke Barbadian or anything like that. But I really didn't get too many people speaking their language, because, you know, once they see, you know, me and my fiance, they're going to start talking English. I mean, it's easy to communicate there. It's not like when you go to like Mexico and you got to know Spanish, because not everybody speaks English, you know, or like you go to Hawaii, you know, everybody speaks English, but then they got their own, you know, native language as well. But yeah, Rihanna does have a big presence out there. So she's, as soon as you come in to the airport, like they have her picture plastered there, and around town they'll have it, and everybody knows where she, you know, grew up, because, you know, they kind of like post it. And then I did check out some of the radio stations. They have like decent music out there. You know, they'll have like their whole mix of, you know, American music, then they'll put some Caribbean music, then they'll have like some, call it some Afro pop, pretty decent mix, kind of like here. But tons of commercials, especially like this one radio station we were listening to. I think it was like 101.1 or something. They had like this, they were sponsored by a craft store, and they would have like riddles sponsored by the craft store, and they would give out a gift, and they'll run that commercial like 10 to 15 times an hour, you know, so it kind of got redundant. You know, you kind of get used to like satellite radio and not hearing all those damn commercials, or listening to your, you know, Spotify or something like that.
So based off of what I've been hearing from you, you weren't too crazy about the food out there. Was there anything native from Barbados that you got a chance to try that maybe you haven't had before?
No, because I mean, some of their food was similar. I do got to say, they, since it's, you know, an island, they love their freaking mahi-mahi. Like, it was mahi-mahi everywhere. And I don't eat no damn fish, so, you know, my fiance ate some fish. I mean, I tasted it, but if you taste one fish, you taste them all, unless they, you know, season it a certain way. I mean, I tried other things. I tried calamari. I tried curry chicken. I tried their hamburgers. I tried, you know, their spaghettis.
What about their soda? Is their Coke just like American Coke, or they got like different Cokes and stuff?
No, I'll tell you this, man. The Coke everywhere out of the United States is garbage. Our mix, the carbonation to sugar is better. Mexico has more sugar, less carbonation. Barbados, same thing. Curaçao, same thing, like everywhere, like everywhere. So like the Mexican Cokes that you drink, they don't really taste like Mexican Coke. When you get a regular Coke in Mexico, it tastes like more sugar than anything. You know, even the ones in the bottle that you buy here, they say, oh, these are Mexican Cokes. They still tastes a little bit better here than it does out there. But in Barbados, I don't know, man. It was when we bought the Coke from the store, it actually tastes a little bit better than when going to like any of the restaurants. That was definitely for sure. To answer your question, no, Coke doesn't taste the same everywhere, no matter what. Even in Panama, because we've been to Panama too, and it was, you know, kind of different.
All right. So tell me about your flight back and kind of gaining that new perspective and that new experience out there in Barbados. How do you feel about coming back home and, you know, everything that we have here?
When I got to Miami, had me a delicious Coke. It was so freaking good. But yeah, the flight back from Barbados, it was Barbados. Barbados to Miami was kind of rough. There was a rough patch leaving, kind of wait before leaving in the air. And then the airport kind of sucks because, I mean, to me, in my opinion, because there's so many flights that can leave at a certain time. American Airlines either had a flight early in the morning or 3 p.m, which, you know, it was kind of weird. And then like all the American Airlines stuff, you couldn't even check in close to 3:00 because the people that we met there at the location, their flight was like at 8:00. And then a few other people we talked to was like at 8:00 or actually like 5 a.m. or something like that. And then the next one was like at 3:15, like hours. The flight in, we had to like wait because there was some weather. Then when getting to Houston was like excellent because once we got to Houston, I mean, relax. I mean, even though we kind of got stuck in Miami, they rescheduled our flight or canceled the flight or something happened. And then we had to stay at the airport practically the whole freaking day. And because our original flight was at 3 or 2 and we got to the airport around 12. Or we're heading to the airport at 12, you know, and then we got that alert. And then we rescheduled it and catching a flight at, 8? It was like 8. We didn't get to Houston until close to 12. No, I think it was close to 11 and got our bags because, you know, you got to go through immigration and all that. And by the time we got home, it was like 1 a.m. So, before we got home, first thing we did was stop at freaking Whataburger. Got us a damn burger.
That's right.
Got home. I was like, man, we need a good burger. So we stopped at Whataburger, got home, ate, and just left the bags the way they were and went to sleep. But all in all, the trip was great. You know, I love traveling. I just don't like, you know, things to happen like canceled flights and stuff like that. I spoke to a couple of friends that were in Jamaica and they got stuck in Jamaica because some flights got canceled or I think they went on strike or some crap. But there were some other flights. We weren't the only ones sitting around the airport in Miami. I heard some other folks had some flights canceled or they got moved gates and stuff like that. So, but Miami airport isn't that bad as certain airports.
Has your sleep been thrown off a little bit by the change in time and all that? Because, you know, it's an hour difference from here to Miami. And then I assume if you're going to Barbados, you lose another hour. So Barbados and Houston must have the same time. So how, you know, have you adjusted well to that or y'all still kind of recovering?
No, Barbados, I think it's like 2 hours ahead, something like that. Losing sleep, I mean, I don't really sleep normal anyway, so I don't think anything changed, especially since I hurt my arm. It's been waking me up, so, but no. I think the only place that threw me off was Hawaii, because Hawaii is 6 hours off. Somebody would call me from Houston, and it's like 1 a.m. there, and it's probably like 8 o'clock in the morning here in Houston or something like that, kind of throw it off for sure. Especially since, you know, I had a lot of people calling me at that time because I had a team at that time.
So I know you and the missus are planners. You guys love to travel. So I know it's a little early, but, you know, what do you guys have in mind for the future after knocking Barbados off the checklist?
We already got our next trip planned. So we're going to go do domestic. So for my birthday, she's taking me to Vegas and San Diego. So it's gonna be our first time in the West Coast. We typically don't go to the West Coast. I don't know why. She's more of an East Coast person. I mean, I was born in the East Coast, but I mean, I would love to go to the West Coast. So this will be our first trip. We're going to San Diego and spend some time in Vegas as well. So I'm gonna rent a car in San Diego, kind of drive around there and see how it is.
You guys been to Vegas? I mean, I'm assuming you guys haven't been to Vegas before. You guys going to go maybe play the slots a little bit, some blackjack?
No, we actually have been to Vegas a couple of years ago. I don't remember how long ago, but yeah, we did go to Vegas, did the high roller, went to a few hotels and casinos and gambled a bit. I mean, I'm not a real gambler, so I mean, I think that the most I was spending like a dollar here and there. Well, not a dollar, but, you know, I played some of the dollar machines, the quarter machines, the nickel machines, penny machines, you know. But I didn't get on any blackjack tables or anything like that. I mean, I can play blackjack, but like I said, I'm not a real gambler, so I'm not going to. I'm scared money.
I ain't going to lie, man. That sounds like a really fun trip to go to Vegas and then head out to the West Coast. They always got beautiful weather out there, good people. So hopefully you guys can have a good trip out there. I myself haven't been to the West Coast either. I would love to. We've actually been talking about maybe traveling ourselves, but I always say we're going to travel and it's like, well, maybe next year. But we definitely want to go to Vegas at some point as well. She, you know, my lady has been to Vegas. I haven't had the chance to go, but traveling is such a different thing, you know, like, when you're a person that is settled in your community or your home, like your city or whatever, like, you know, and you're used to that lifestyle, you don't travel much. For you to travel, it is a big, you know, difference. And I wouldn't, you know, perspective, but at the same time, you just get to see how other people live as well. So I think that's cool. Y'all gonna head out to the West Coast. Y'all gonna definitely see a whole different side of our beautiful country.
I would say you need to travel. The hardest thing about traveling is I would say preparing yourself to travel or, you know, planning it. I would say if you guys are gonna travel, I mean, just do it. Because if you don't, like you said, you're gonna every year say, oh, we're gonna do it this year. We're gonna do it this year. I did that for many years of my life, didn't travel. We traveled a bit, you know, but, you know, it's like, oh, we can't travel because we got a young kid. I mean, kids travel all the time. I seen a freaking, I think it was like a 6-month-old on the damn plane, and kids cry. Kids, you know, there was a few kids crying. You know, just take the baby, plan it now, you know, so you know what you're going to do. And let's not say money's an issue or something, but the earlier you plan it, the better your rates are, you know, and you can... You can use points from your, you know, if you got like a credit card with points, you can use points for the hotel room or something like that. I mean, just plan it and go. I mean, at one point, me and my fiance would just take trips, you know, if Southwest or whatever had like a cheap flight, and we were just taking it. And we made that a plan, and we would do it all the time. We would do one place domestic, one place foreign. And that's how we've traveled, you know, quite a bit. But we've, like I said, we've never made it to the West Coast. So this will be the first time and hopefully not the last. I mean, besides, I mean, we went to Vegas, but, you know, nobody really considers that the West Coast. So We're going to try San Diego and go from there. We wanted to catch a baseball game, but I don't think anything's going on at that time.
Yeah, man, that sounds really exciting. A lot of big plans in the future for you. Over here, Morph Speaks. It's really exciting to be back. I know we have a lot of great ideas and great subjects coming up in the next few weeks for our audience. We're going to probably have some more interviews. You know, at this point, we're kind of bringing you guys a little bit of a gumbo soup of content here, where we're going to have, you know, music. We're going to talk about a little bit of everything, which has always been kind of our platform. But, you know, now, you know, we're revamping some things. We got a lot of things in the works. And I think that it's going to be a good chapter for our listeners and for Morph Speaks to continue to grow. We're really excited. We're glad to have you back, Morph. We really missed you. It's been long overdue for you to be back. And we look forward to chopping it up and having a good time and just giving out content to the people. So, you know, I really, really appreciate you sharing your travels with us today. We learned quite a bit about the country of Barbados. Miami got the third visit, so third time is the charm. So Miami is definitely the place you want to go. But looks like the Bahamas is, Barbados is, at least don't go for the food. That's what my man Morph is saying, but if you want to go check out the beaches and you want to go see a little bit of history and culture, sounds like Barbados may be the country for you. What else you got for me, Morph?
That's it. I just wanted to tell the listeners, just be sure following all our platforms. Most of our listeners are returning listeners, so thank you for coming back. And for all the new ones, thank you for joining. Like Ray said, we got more topics coming. Like he said, there's a whole gumbo soup of, Ray doesn't like when I say this, a whole bunch of randomness, but that's what our channel is. You know, we have anything from interviews, you know, to, you know, artists, up and coming artists and other things coming up. Did speak to one person that we interviewed, Scooby, who I kind of promised them that we were going to redo it because my audio was jacked up. So that may be in the works as well, but we also got some other things coming, some deep dives into other things. I know Ray is a thinker, so he's thinking already what kind of topics. That's all we got this week. Anything else from you, Ray?
Nah. Last thing I would ask is what's your go-to at Whataburger? What was that burger that just, you know what I'm saying, you got back from another country. What was the burger that you got?
Number five. Nope. No onions, no tomatoes. You already know.
And that's how we do it in Texas. Yes, sir.
And if you don't know what the number five is, that's the burger with the bacon cheeseburger. There you go.
There you go. Check us out on all of our social medias at Morph Speaks. Check out our website, www.morphspeaks.com. Follow us on IG at Revolutionary, at Morpheus300, at Morph Speaks. Y'all have a good night. Thank you for having us.
And be sure to check out our YouTube. I'm starting to upload more, gaining more followers. So that Barbados trip will be posted soon. I just got to edit it. And like I said, within the next week, it should be on there. Check us out. I'm also add the link on our webpage as well. Y'all take it easy. Thank you for joining.
More speaks.